start from the bottom. This week's daf is Nunhei. I'm going to Nunhei and Erevin. We're going to start just to finish off the last point of the Gemara, Nundalad Amud Beis. The Gemara beforehand was talking about the idea that in order to be able to remember Torah properly, you have to make simonim in the Torah, and that will help you remember it for a longer period of time. So let's start from the literally the last line in the Gemara. Belozer Eimer, Mehacha. He brings another pasuk to prove the idea, the concept that you should make a siman for the learning that you're doing in order to remember it. So it says, Amar lechachma, you should say about wisdom, Achosiat, you are my sister. Meaning similar to the idea that just like you know your sister very well, you should know the Torah very well. Maidan, to a relative, Levina Tikri, you should call them, that's what you should call understanding. Again, the idea that you should call understanding of the Gemara like a relative so that it's close to you. And that's what the Gemara darshans. I say, Maidim, the Torah, you should make markers for yourself in the Torah, and this is the raya that you should make simanim for yourself in the Torah. Rav Amar, I say, Maidim, Moyadim l'tayra, that you should make set times for the Torah. A person should be kaveya itim l'tayra. Behind the Amar, Avdimi bar Chama bar Doisa. Magich Siv. He also similarly says, what are we dashing from this pasuk? Loi b'shamayim hi, v'loi meiver liyam hi. That the Torah is not in Shemayim and it's not on the other side of the river or the ocean. And we dashing like this. Loi b'shamayim hi, she'im b'shamayim hi. It's not in Shemayim, but if it was in Shemayim, at the Torah la'alois acharei, you'd have to go get it. V'im meiver liyam hi. And if it's on the other side of the ocean, at the Torah la'avarachara, you'd have to go there. So Rashi explains that we're talking about that since we see there's an obligation upon a person to make sure that the learning stays with him, we see there is an obligation to do something, to make an effort, to make sure that you know the Torah. So too, even if the Torah wasn't convenient and it was hard to get, you'd still have a chiv to go after it and get it. Rav Amar loy b'shamayim, Rav Adarshan slightly differently. It's not in Shemayim. Loy simsa b'misha magbiya daita alea k'shamayim. You will not find Torah in somebody who is a bal gaiva. Well, that's the next line of the Gemara. But that person thinks himself great like Shemayim. I understand this to mean that he thinks he already knows everything, and since he knows everything, he doesn't have to bother chazering or going after the Torah. You're not going to find Torah in that kind of person. Loy simsa b'misha marchiv daita alea. Again, person who you won't find it in somebody who thinks they're great because of the Torah. Kiyam like the ocean. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Loi b'shamayim, it's not shamayim loy simsa begasei ruach. You won't find it in bali gaiva. Again, they think they're above everybody. Loy meiver liyam he loy simsa loy b'sachronim loy b'tagrim. And not on the other side of the ocean. Meaning, you're not going to find Torah in somebody who is busy with either, as Rashi says, doing business outside of town or even doing business inside of town. A person who's constantly running, like we learned on the Amud Aleph, Nundalat Amud Aleph. That if you have to be near vein and nearer, meaning you have to be seen only in the base measures and not seen outside. If you're busy outside running after business or other things and you're not making the Torah the ikker, you're not going to be able to hold on to the Torah the way you should. That's the end of the sugya of making sure that a person takes Torah as serious as possible and makes it their priority. Now the Gemara starts off with a new topic, Tana Rabbanan. Now, when the Gemara says Tana Rabbanan, generally speaking, this is a quote of a Braisa, but it's not just Tama Braisa, it's a Braisa that's Oiska Halton, that everybody knows, that is a reliable source, and that's why the Gemara starts off with the Tana Rabbanan, as opposed to, for example, Gemara bringing a Tanya, which is a Braisa also. But the difference between a Tanya and a Tana Rabbanan, according to Rabbi Reisman, that I just heard the Shir, that a Tana Rabbanan is a more reliable, is a Braisa that was taka reviewed by the Rabbanan, that they know for sure is an authentic source, and therefore the Gemara is allowed to use that as a basis upon which we rely, and we can ask kashas based on this Tana Rabbanan. Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan. Ketzin ma'arvin es ha'arim. So the Mishnah told us that when you measure a city and you're measuring the borders, the boundaries of a city, you don't just include literally the physical end of the city, but there are other factors, there are other outside points that extend the borders of the city also. So how do you measure the outside? What is considered the perimeter of the city? So first we start with the simple. Arucha k'mayshahi. However long it is, that's how far the border extends. Agula, if it's circle, oisun lozavios, Merubas. If it's a circle, so then you make it square. You add corners to the circle, as Rashi in the picture. In Rashi, you see that there's a square around the circle, so that is how you measure the borders. So don't measure from each point wherever you leave, you square it out. Merubas, if the city is already squared, you don't put other squares, we'll see in the Gemara later. It's talking about, even if it's not lined up exactly like longitude and latitude, if it's already squared, then you keep it in the direction that it's going. If the city is wider on one side than it is on the other, so again, you widen, you look at it as if it's all the same size all around, meaning you widen the thinner side to equal the wider side. If you have a house that juts out like a pillar or like a round citadel on the outside skirts of the city, so it extends further out, so then you extend the whole city out that way. Or you have two houses that extend out, so yoitzin, that stick out of the square of the city. So kamin shnei pegumim, or two houses that stick out on either side. So rayin oisai ki ilu chut matuach aleim. You still measure it as if there's a string that goes out that makes it straight from the point of the extent of the pogum. And then you start measuring your 2,000 amos from that point on. Alpayim amo. Hoisa asuya kamin keshes. Now we get into the interesting cases. If the city itself is made in the shape of a bow, like in a bow and an arrow, so it's round, oy kamin gam, or it's meant, it's a shape of a, I don't know what Rashi says is a shape like a, think of it like a nun or a chaf, that not a chaf, like a nun where it has one side that juts out in either direction, like a boomerang. That would be probably the best example. So then, you also, you fill in the entire empty space as if people live in that entire area, the chatzeres, with houses and courtyards, and you measure from that point on alpayim amam, meaning the area, the empty space won't count because you're going to square off the entire city, even if it has some unusual shape. All right, so that's what the Braisa says. Now let's go back and explain what each one of these cases are teaching us. So amar mar, arucha kamay shehi. If you have a city that's very long, so you keep it the length of the city. So pshita, of course, why wouldn't you? In other words, the havamina is that you should make the city shorter. Why would you do that? So my answer is, even if it's very long, it could be 2 miles long. Still, you would still measure from the end of the city. What's the chiddush? Like tzricha de'aricha v'katina, that it's very long, but it's also very narrow. So you would think, you might think, that you should put the width on the length, meaning that you should add on to the width to make it longer, or to shorten the width because the width is not there. Kamash Malon, that whatever the size of the city is, whether it's long and short or short and tall, it doesn't make a difference. You measure from the end of those cities, you just have to straighten them out. Meaning you have to make them a straight line at the end, but it doesn't necessarily have to be square per se. Next line in the Mishnah is Merubas. But if it is a square, it's not the next line, it's after the circle case, but the next line after that is if it's squared, enois and lozavios, you don't add on another box around that. So pshita, of course, why would you add another box? It's already squared. So my answer is like tzricha dimiruva, it is squared, v'loi miruva b'rivua oilam, but it is not lined up exactly east, west, north, south, like the square of the world itself. So, ma'at the time I would thought l'rivua b'rivua oilam, I should make it squared out so that it fits exactly into the perfect direction of the world. Kamash Malan, that you don't do this. If it's already squared and the sides are equaled out, then you keep it that way. Next case in the Mishnah is Hayabayis Echad Yaitza Kamin Pogum. If one house or one area of the wall juts out, Oishne Batim Yaitzin Kamin Shne Pogum, or you have two houses that jut out on the side of the wall, so then you draw a straight line from one to the other. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Hashta bayis echad emeris, shnei ba'atim ibayi. So if one house already tells you that you extend the city to the area of the city that juts out, of course, if there are two houses that equally jut out, you would draw the line between the two houses. So what's the chiddush? What was the Gemara or the Braisa adding by saying there's a second house that sticks out? So the Gemara says, leitzricha, we thought until now that the two houses were jutting out in the same direction. The chiddush over here is that they're jutting out mishtei ruchos, that it's jutting out in two opposite directions. So we would think that if it juts out in one direction, you could add on a little bit on one side of the city, but not necessarily to add on both sides of the city. Kamash Malan, that's exactly the chiddush over here, that even if you're adding on to every side of the city, that's okay. It's long, you just have to square it out. Now, the next case is, if you have a city that's shaped in the shape of a bow or the shape of a boomerang, let's say that it's squared out, but the middle is empty. So then, the Braisa told us that you look at the middle area as if it's all filled in, and you measure from the extended point 2,000 amos out. From the middle point, so in other words, if you're looking at like a bow, So if you draw the string of the bow that goes straight across the top of the bow, you look at you, that's where you would measure the 2,000 amos from. Okay, that's the statement. So comes along Rav Huna. Amar Rav Huna, Yira Asuya Kikeshes. If you have a city that's shaped like a bow, Im Yesh Ben Shnei Roshea Pochis Me'arba Asalofim Amo. Only if the two sides of the city, the two, what do you call them, the edges, let's say, that jut out, are within 4,000 amos of one another. Meaning that if you walk 2,000 amos to the center, it'll overlap the tchum that extends from the opposite side. So if the north, and let's say the city, for example, the round part is east-west, and the straight-up parts are north and south. So if I walk from the north side, and let's say two guys, one guy's walking from the north, and one guy's walking to the, from the south, and they overlap each other in the middle, that's when you could use the area in the side as if it's all filled in, and you'll measure your 2,000 amos from that the string that goes across. So then, Moedin Lo Amina Yeser, you can measure your 2,000 amos starting from that middle point. Vimlab, however, if the two sides of the city are so far apart from one another that they wouldn't even overlap each other if they were walking directly towards each other, so then, Moedin Lo Amina Keshes. So then, you measure from the bow part. Now, there's actually a major Machlekes Rishonim over here. What does that mean? So Rashi says something very unusual. He says, once they're more than 4,000 amos apart and you cannot use the extended part of the city as the point that you measure, Rashi says then you have to start measuring from the door of your house. So Machlekes Ritva and Rashba, what does Rashi mean over here? The Ritva learns literally that you measure from the door of your house. That even if you're in the middle of the city, once you lose the halacha that you can rely on the city, the borders of the city, you lose that entire aspect of the halacha, and you literally have to start measuring 2,000 amos from your door. The Rashba says that doesn't make any sense, because Lamaisa is still part of a city. So even if you want to say that the extended part of the city is not part of your cheshbon of where the city is, Lamaisa, you're still in a city, and you can still measure the border of your 2,000 amos from the end of your city, whichever part is considered calculated as part of the city. So that's the machlekes within Rashi itself. However, the Rashba himself and Tosfos and many other Rishonim learn, they don't even learn like Rashi b'chlal. They forget about measuring from the guy's door. What they say is, now if you're thinking about the city as it's rounded out on the bottom, at some point, since it's in a circle, at some point the city, the sides of the city, the edges of the city, are still within 2,000 or 4,000 amos of one another. So you can actually start counting not only from the border of the city itself, from the bottom part of the keshes, from the city itself, but you can even count up to the point that the sides of the city are still within 4,000 amos of one another, and that's where you start your 2,000 amos from. You get that, you fill in the space, just like if the two sides were within 4,000 amos, you would fill in that whole area. So any point of the bow that's still within 2,000 or 4,000 amos of one another from the sides, that area also gets filled in, and you start your measurement of 2,000 amos from that point. However, one other shita is, because this is really what the Rishonim are focused on in the sugya, the Rabbeinu Hananel's pshat is that we're not even talking about, when we talk about a bow over here, If it's round, you lose your whole. If the round finally extends more than 4,000 amos, you completely lose the element of the sides of the city at all for measurement, and you can only use the sides of the city as a measurement if it's squared, meaning the bottom is straight flat, and then the two sides of the cities are straight up. Then you could use the sides of the city, provided that they are within 4,000 amos. Of the sides are within 4,000 amos of one another. However, if it's rounded out, and therefore eventually it gets further apart than 4,000 amos from each other, you can't use the sides at all, and they're not even as good as the status of a pogum. So you have a major machlekes rishonim over here, what this case means once you get to a point where the two sides of the city are more than 4,000 amos apart. Okay, so that's Rav Huna's halacha. So comes along the Gemara and says, in general, is Rav Huna really true? Umi Amar Rav Huna, Hafi, Rav Huna really says, Amar Rav Huna, Chaymas Ha'ir, if you have a city that had a wall around it, Shenifetza, and the wall of the city fell down, it broke down. And the wall, the hole in the wall, is now more than 141 amos apart and 2/3, so that there's a gap of more than 141 amos apart. So then, that's where we say that the two sides of the city are no longer connected. However, there's a vast difference between 141 amos and 4,000 amos. So how come Rav Huna over here was calculating based on 4,000 amas? Here we see that the gap has to be 141 amas. So how do you explain that? So Amar Rav Barula Loi Kasher, it's not a contradiction. Kam Beruach Achas Kam Bishtei Ruchais. The case of the city is that 141 is already considered a gap if you look at the picture in Rashi, where there's a gap all the way straight through the entire city, on both sides of the city, there is no connecting point. So if there's no connecting point, so then in fact we consider it halachically two cities, and then as we'll see in a second, that once you have a city, so you get maximum 70 amas per city, so then that's when you need 141 amas is already considered too big of a gap. However, in the case of the keshes that we've been talking all along, even though there is a tremendous gap of up to 4,000 amas on the top, but the bottom is connected, is altogether connected, and therefore it's still considered one city, unless they're, again, more than 4,000 amas. Umay kamash melon. So now, what are you telling me the chiddush is, that if there's a gap all the way through, that the city gets a 70 amas per city? Umay kamash melon, is that the chiddush? So you're going to tell me that the chiddush is that each city gets a karfe, which is an empty area for beautifying the city around the city, so you get 70 amas. So ha'amar rabba barabura chadazim, he already told us that Allah, but now we learned in the Mishnah. Noisin karfe fle'ir. This Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Meir's shita is that every city, so not only do we not measure 2,000 amos if there's a part that sticks out, but also we don't even start measuring the 2,000 amos at the edge of the wall. We add on to every city an area of 2,000 amos, and Rashi says even if there's no wall around it. So Stamazoi, we give this area around the city 70 amos further out. The Chacham say, no, normally we do count measuring the 2,000 amos. We start measuring immediately from the outside portion of the wall. However, if there are two cities that are next to each other and you want to calculate what's considered one city or two cities, so he says if there's a karfif in between, meaning they're within 70 amos of one another, they are considered one city. Okay, so that's a machlekes where you do use the concept of a karfif on the outskirts of a city. However, the Gemara further to see where Rav Huna commented on this already. Ve'itmar, Rav Huna Omar, karfe flezu ve'karfe flezu. When the Chachamim said that you have two cities, you give them a karfef, he means not one karfef, actually, you give them two karfefs. Each city gets one karfef, which essentially is saying that you get a distance of up to 141 amos to be considered one city, and if they have more than that, then they're considered two cities, and you'd have to measure the tchum based on that. Just to finish the point over here, v'chiyah barav omar einoisin ela karfef echad l'shneim. Even if it's two cities, you only consider them one, you would only get the size of one karfef in between them. In any event, so what are you telling me this chiddush is, that when the wall fell down, you get 141 amos? Rav Huna already made this statement in the context of the machlokes Rav Meir and the Chachamim, that you get a karfef of 70 amos, or you get 141 amos between two cities. So the Gemara says, tzricha, we need to tell us the chiddush in both of those scenarios, because they're slightly different. Yashmin and Hacha, because if you told me in the case of the city, of the wall that fell down, I would think mishum dehavale tzad heter, because originally it was one city and then the wall broke down, meikara, originally. So that's why I would think that I get up to two karfefs. Aval hasam, when they started off as two cities, emaloi, maybe I would say, maybe over there in Echanami I don't get two karfefs, I only get one. And if Rav Meir would have, or Rav Huna would have said his chiddush in the context of where you had two cities, and that's why you got up to 141 amos, that what they used to use these karfefs for was, for whatever reason, they needed extra space around the city to store their product. So then, so each city needs its own 70 amos. But over here, as you recall, these two cities were originally one city. And if they were considered one city, so maybe they obviously managed till now with only one karfef, because they were only one city. So emaloi, so you would say maybe they don't deserve. Now that they're two cities, they still don't need two karfefs, because they managed till now with only one. So tzricha to tell us that Anachanami, they do get, now that they are considered two cities, we do in fact give them two karfefs. Now, the Gemara wants to know, the kamo, even if we are going to say that the two sides of the city are 4,000 amas apart, are less than 4,000 amas apart, so we could start our measurements from the edge of the city. How far, how high up, how long can these sides of the city extend and still be considered as part of my city, and I can only start, and I get to start my measurement from the end of that extension? The comma, how far up have a ben yeser lekeshes? How far up can the extra, the empty space that I'll include as part of the city, how far, how big, and how large can that be, and still considered and not part of my measuring of 2,000 amos? So, Rabba Barav Huna Omar Alpayim Amos, up to 2,000 amos. So, meaning if the extensions are more than 2,000 amos out, then I can't count them anymore as part of my city for purposes of measuring, starting to measure my 2,000 amas. Rava bereid Rava bar Rav Huna Amar. Rava says, Afil yesami apai mama. I can even go more than 2,000 amas. If they extend, they extend. So Amar Abaye, Kavasa de Rava bereid de Rav Huna bar Huna Mustaver. That actually makes more sense. That it gets as far as you can go. Why do you buy Hadar Azar Derech Batim? Now that we're talking about the cases that they are within 4,000 amas of each other, that means if I ever really wanted to get to that space, to that extra space to start counting my 2,000 amas, I could. Because I could just, if I really wanted to, I could walk through the city, and there's never Asr to walk through the city itself, all the way up to the furthest extended point of the city, and then I could start counting my 2,000 amas. So we see that it doesn't matter how far out the extension goes. I can always count 2,000 amas from the furthest extended point, and I don't say that I'm limited to up to 2,000 amas to start my extension. That's the end of that sugya. Now, we're going to go back to the areas that are jutted out. If there are broken parts of the wall that are more than 10 tefachim high that extend out, that also extends the where we start the border of the city for purposes of measuring. My gedudiyos, what are these broken walls that we're talking about? I'm Rabbi Yehuda Shalish Bechitzos. Talking about there's a broken down house that has, but it has still three walls, Shein Aleihem Tikra. But they don't have a roof on them. Because if they had a roof, of course, three walls and a roof would be considered a real house. That's not a question. And of course, that would extend the borderline of the city. The chiddush is that even without a wall, lemaisa three walls is, even without a roof, three walls is enough to be considered part of the city. Yibailu, shtei mechitzais v'yeshalei and tikramau. What about if you only have two walls? However, the two walls have a roof on them. And now we're not talking about two walls that are opposite each other, by the way. We're talking about two walls that are next to each other, but they do have a roof on them. Does that qualify them as a house to be able to extend the border of the city? So Tashima, let's bring a raya. Elu shemes abrin ima. Here are the list of things that would, if they're, even though they're outside the wall of the city, they're considered part of the city, and we count the border of the measurement of the city from these things. Nefesh, which is a house that's on top of a kever, on top of a tomb. Sheyesh ba arba amos al arba amos. But that little house has to be at least 4 amos by 4 amos wide. V'hagesher, v'hakever, or even if you have a bridge, or you have a cemetery, sheyesh bahen beis dira, that has a house that people live in. And the Chazon Ish says, they're talking about that you have to actually sleep there, not just that it's possible to live there, not even if it has enough area to move around. It has to be literally that somebody sleeps there. Okay, so if you have somebody sleeping in those houses, even though they're outside of the city, Ubeis HaKnesses, Sheyesh Bo Beis Dira, and this is the Chazon Ish Raya, because you see a shul that also has somebody's accommodations for somebody to live, Dira L'Chazon, that somebody could live in the shul, Ubeis HaVodes Gechavo, even a church, or a Beis HaVodes Zara, Sheyesh Bo Beis Dira, that has the ability for some Lekumrim, for the priests to sleep there, so somebody literally sleeps there. Va'eirois, Va'eitzorois, these are storage houses for either your food or your kelim, Shevasodis, that are out in the field, the Yesh Behen Beis Dira, and once again, somebody can sleep there. Ba'aborganin is a broken down house, Shebetzoicha, that's also in the field, Ba'abayi Shebiyam, or even a house that's situated on an island floating in the middle of the water. But again, people live there. Hare Elam and Sabranimo, those are considered part of, within the perimeter of the city, and they extend the border of the city up to those points. The Elu She'en Misabranimo, and here is the list of things that do not, even once they're outside of the walls of the city, are not considered within the perimeter of the city. Nefesh Shenifritza Mishtei Ruchai Seha. Elich Ve'elich. If you have the same kind of house that's around a tomb, but it has two walls that are open, that's going to be the point of our Gemara. V'hagesher also, v'hakever, if you have a bridge or a cemetery, she'ein lo beis dira, nobody sleeps there, beis haknesa, she'ein lo beis dira l'chazen, a shul that nobody sleeps there, beis avodas gechavah, she'ein lo beis dira l'kumrim, and a avodah zara house that doesn't have places for the priests to sleep, v'ha'aris, v'ha'itzrei, shebesodois, and if you have storage houses out in the field, she'ein lo beis dira, that nobody sleeps there, ubar v'siach, and if you have a pit or a trench, uma'ara, and a cave, v'geder, and a fence, v'shoivich, and a nest, where the animals come to roost, Shebesoicha, that's in the fields, Vahabayas, Shebesfina, or a house, even if somebody sleeps there on a boat, that the boat is constantly moving from place to place, so it's not set. Ein Elu Misabranimo, those are not considered part of the perimeter of the city, and you do not count it. Now, what's the point of this whole long brisa? Ketani miyos, but we see that this brisa says, Nefesh and Nifritza Mishtei Ruchoyseha, that if you have a house on top of a tomb that's open on two sides, Elch Ve'elich, it's not considered a house, and therefore it doesn't count as part of, it doesn't extend the perimeter. My love, the ikra tikra. So we see that this house, even if it has two walls, even if it has a roof on top of it, it's still not considered a house. So we see two walls and a roof are not considered enough of a house to be counted as part of the city. So we have a raya. The Gemara says, "Lo, you don't have a raya. The leka tikra, the case over there is that it's only two walls and it doesn't have a roof, and that's why it's bechlal not counted. So maybe we don't really have a raya one way or the other, but it could be that if it does have a roof, and achanami, that's considered enough of a protection that you would consider that a house to add on to the perimeter of the city." Now, the next case, one of the things that the Brisa mentioned was Baya Shabayam. If you have a house that's out in the ocean or out in the middle of a body of water, so that counts as part of the city. Lamai Chazi, what could you do with this house? You can't get there. Amarav Papa Baya Shasu Lefnois by Kalim Shebesfino. We're talking about that it's a house that could be used as a storage house. You know, sometimes the water is not deep enough for a boat to come all the way into dock. So the boats unload further out in the water. And they have a storage house out there, and then you take a little boat and you carry things from the storage house out in the island further out, and then you bring that further in. So, but the point is that house is meant for storage, so that house can be considered qualify as a real house, and that's why you could use it as part of the border of the city. Uma Ora. The next case is that the Brisa mentioned was a cave, Amos Abran Imo. It's not considered part of the city itself. Vahatani, Rebbechia taught us in a brisa, Ma'orim is Abarasimah. He said it, Beferi said it does, that a cave does count as part of the border of the city. Amrabaya, Kishayesh, Binyan, Alpiha. The case is that it's not just a regular cave, it also has a house right at the border, or, according to some shitas, on top of the cave, that you have a house on the, at the edge of the opening of the cave, and therefore that's now considered part of a house that's considered part of the city. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. But typically, Mishum Binyan Gufa. So once you're talking about that there's a house there, so forget about the cave. It's because there's a house there. That's why it's counted as part of the city. So the Gemara says, that the house itself is actually not large enough that we would not consider it halachically a house for the sake of measuring as part of the city. However, together with the cave, now the two together add up to be the size of a house, large enough to be qualified, and that's why you could use the cave in that case as part of the house to measure the city from that border. Okay, Amar Avino, Yoshvei Tzrifin, Ein Moididin Lahen, Ela Mipesach Batein. People who live in huts, either made out of straw or other types of flappable material, so then those are not considered real houses, and therefore they do not establish a city. So till now we've always said that once you have a city, you don't have to measure from the door of your house, you can measure from the border of the city. However, even if you have many huts together, like these Bedouin camps, or these areas that are, you know, where they, after the storms where people, you know, go to, what are they called again? Anyway, those cities that they create, if they're made out of movable materials, those do not have a halachic status of a city. Okay. Most of Rav Chista, but we learned in this, it's actually this week's parsha, we just learned it. Vayachnu ala yardein, actually this pasuk is not. Vayachnu ala yardein mi beis hayishimun, that they dwelled on the city, on the yardein, on the edge of the city. Now, va'omer rabba bar bachono, lididi chazili, now how large, this is talking about Klal Yisrael, that they stopped to rest at the city of Shimon, so I saw how large this city was. Chaziliyahu Asra, I saw this today, Vahabi Tlas Parsoi, and it was 3 parsois long, which is way larger than 2,000 amos. Al Tlas Parsoi, it's 3,000 by 3,000. Vitanya, and we learned in a praiso, that how did they behave when Klal Yisrael was going through the midbar? Vitanya, we learned in a praiso, Kashay Nifnin, when they had to go to the bathroom, Hey Nifnin, Loilifneim, Loilitzidayan, they didn't go to the bathroom in an area where the Anana covered would possibly travel. They wouldn't go in front of the travel area, and they wouldn't go on the side even, because it's possible that Klal Yisrael would move to the side. Elalachreim, they would dafka go to only use the bathroom in the area behind the Anana Yakovid, where Klal Yisrael already was. So we see that means somebody who lived all the way in the front of the city had to walk all the way through the Anane Yakovet to the back of the city before they were able to go to the bathroom. Now on Shabbos, how would he be able to do this? Because the city itself was larger than 3,000 amos. And Klal Yisrael, when they traveled, they didn't have any permanent housing. They only had temporary housing. And so we see that even temporary housing can qualify to make up a city. So Amalei Rava, Digle, Midbar Commerce, you're talking about how Klal Yisrael traveled in the Midbar, given the Chsiv Behu, this pasuk is in this week's Parsha. Al-Pi Hashem Yachanav, Al-Pi Hashem Yisrael, since Lamaisa they were established until Hashem told them to move, Kamanda Kvilahu Dami, they were considered established. So Anachanami, if you have a city that, for halachic status, is considered established, so then it counts as a city, but if it's just a flimsy tent or something, even if there are many of them together, that does not qualify them as a city. Amrav Chanina bar Rav Kahana, Amrav Ashi. So we learn the name of Ashi. Im yesh sham shalosh chatzeris. So what do you need? What's the minimum amount of houses that you need in order to be kaveh at a city? So Rashi mentioned this earlier. Sham shalosh chatzeris shal shnei batim hukvo. If you have three chatzeris, three courtyards, that each one of them has two houses, so that is the minimum amount that once you have that amount, you already know that you have a city, and possibly then, according to some shitas, that then even if you have the extra huts on there around them, once you have an establishment of a city, maybe other things around the city can be counted as qualified. But before you can even establish the create a city, you need at least three courtyards with two houses each. Amarav Yehuda Amarav Yoishrei Tzrifin. Now this is once we talk about people who live in huts. So people who live in huts, v'hochei midbariyos, and people who travel, like Bedouins, who travel in the desert and they're constantly moving from place to place, chayei menechayim, they don't have a real life. They're missing on the hanoah of life. V'neshem u'b'neim enesheleihem, and their wives are not really theirs. Why? Because they're constantly leaving town, and it's a hefkervelt. And their wives are out, and they don't even know if they're really their children. Tanya nami hochei. We learned a similar braisa. Eliezer ish birya oimer. Eliezer told us, Yeshvei tzrifim ki yeshvei kfarim. The people who live in these huts are like living in a cemetery. Va'al ben Naseim and their daughters who oimer oru shoychiv im kol behema. Like a behema, there's the hefkeris, the priestess and the hefkeris is so vast that it's mamish not considered like regular people. My time, why is it such a hefkeris over there? So ulo amar she'en lehem merchatzos, because they don't have bathhouses because they're traveling in the desert. So what happens is if you need to take a bath, the husbands, when they need to take a bath, they have to travel far away, and they basically leave their wives there, and everybody knows that their wives are hefker. So that gives them the latitude to do whatever they want, and that's why the pritzus happens. The other way around, when the wives have to go to the mikvah, so they can't go by themselves, so they have to bring another woman there. So they make noise, and people in the cities hear them coming, and they know that these two women are by themselves. So again, it creates a level of hefkeris, and people take advantage. So my benayu, either way, the problem is that the women are left by themselves. So Gemara says, Ika benayu nahara desamach lebeso. If you have a flowing river that's near there. So, but Rashi says the kind of river that could be used to go to the mikvah, but it can't be used to wash. It's not a clean river. So halachically, you could use it as a mikvah, but it's not enough for washing. So you're still going to have the husbands going away to take a bath. So that creates a problem. But if you're talking about tefillah, that's not a problem because they won't be so far away from their husbands. Amrav hunu kol ir she'ein bo yerek. We'll stop with this line. A city that does not have vegetables, which are cheap and fill you up, ain't talmid chacham rashayin lodur boy, then a talmid chacham is not allowed to live there because he's not going to be able to live there. He's not going to be able to make ends meet to be able to sit and learn and be able to afford to live there. So we'll just stop with this line, but we'll pick up with this next time. L'meimer di yerek ma'al yahu. So you're telling me that vegetables are good for you, and that's why you should make sure you have them. V'atayin shloishim ma'arben es hazevel. Three things make you have to go to the bathroom more. V'koyfiven es hakoymo, and they bend over the height of a person. And they take away 1/500th of a person's eyesight. Shal odom. V'elohein pas kibur dirty bread. V'sheicher and Sheikh Chodesh, new beer that hasn't fermented properly, the yerek and vegetables. So we see the vegetables are not really so good for you. So the answer is like Kasha, ha, betume, vikarsi. If you're talking about leeks that are not good for you, ha, b'shar yerek is talking about other vegetables. So we'll see what this is. But some vegetables are good for you and some vegetables are not good for you. And the point is that talking about the vegetables that are good for you, that you should make sure, tamachachum, in order you should live in a place that's affordable. If it's not affordable, then Anachanami, then you should not be living there. And Anachanami, the Ger Chassidim in Eretz Yisrael are very makbid on this. The Ger Rebbe doesn't allow his a new chassan to live in Yerushalayim, it's pasha too expensive. He requires that they go, if they want to live someplace and they want to be able to afford it, he requires sometimes they even build their own cities that are affordable to their chassidim, and otherwise he suggests that they move to cities that are much cheaper so that they can live there and be able to spend their time learning Torah based on this Gemara.